Welcome to Hanschuk Targets History. I'm your host, Tim Hanschuk. Thanks for joining me this episode. You know, I've been teaching high school history for way too many years, and I love talking about this stuff. So let me share with you some interesting, unique, and little-known historical events. I know you'll be entertained, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something too. So, let's lock and load and take a shot at that target of history and see what we can hit. Well, let's take a walk down range and see what the target shows us. Hey, looks like today we hit in World War I. Let's see, specifically, we'll be talking about the war's ace of aces, Baron Manfred Albrecht Freiherr von Richthofen of Germany. His 80 confirmed kills made him the war's highest scoring ace for any country. He's probably one of the best known fighter pilots in history, having become such a legend that a brand of pizza was named after him, and the Peanuts comic strip saw him fighting Snoopy. If you don't recognize his given name, that's okay, because I know you know his nickname. He's none other than the Red Baron. Von Richthofen was born in Lower Silesia on May 2, 1892, into a prominent Prussian aristocratic family. Apart from his parents, he had an older sister and two younger brothers, Lothar and Bolko. He began military training at age 11 and completed his cadet training in 1911. He was posted to an Uhlan cavalry unit. When World War I began in 1914, von Richthofen served as a cavalry reconnaissance officer, and he fought on both the Eastern and Western fronts. But when the war bogged down into a stalemate due to trench warfare, his cavalry regiment was dismounted. He found himself acting as a dispatch runner and operating a field telephone. Hardly the same as the glory of a cavalry charge, and he hated it. When he was told he was being transferred to the supply branch, he had had enough. While serving behind the lines, he had examined German aircraft and became more and more interested in them. So rather than ending up in supply, he applied for a transfer into the Army Air Service. Legend has it that on his application for transfer, he wrote, "I have not gone to war in order to collect cheese and eggs, but for another purpose." Whether he did or didn't, his request was granted, and he joined the Air Service at the end of May 1915. So for that June and July, von Richthofen found himself riding as an observer on reconnaissance missions over the Eastern Front. In August of 1915, he was transferred to Belgium, still in the role of observer. It was then that he met the German ace, Oswald Behlke, entirely by chance. Behlke would end up scoring 40 kills during the war and was a brilliant tactician. Many consider him the father of air fighting tactics. After talking to him, von Richthofen entered training to become a pilot in October of 1915. He finished his training in March of 1916 and joined the No. 2 Bomber Squadron. It was also at this time that he convinced his brother Lothar, who was serving as a training officer, to join the air service as well. Von Richthofen began his career as a fighter pilot, flying the two-seater Albatross C-3. From the very beginning, his flying skills proved to be actually pretty below average. He actually crashed the first time he flew the Albatross. Not a very auspicious start, but here's the thing. He was a quick learner and rarely made the same mistake twice. And once he got used to the aircraft, he really took off. On the 26th of April, 1916, he was flying over Verdun when he engaged a French Nieuport with his machine guns. He claimed to have shot it down, but the kill could not be confirmed, so he was not given official credit for it. About a week later, he decided to fly through a thunderstorm, even though older, more experienced pilots told him it was a really bad idea. Perhaps he was feeling a bit reckless about not getting credit for the kill. He made it through the storm, but counted himself lucky to do so, and vowed to never again fly in such weather conditions. In August of 1916, von Richthofen ran into Behlke again. Behlke was looking for pilots for his newly formed Jasta II, and chose von Richthofen to join it. Jasta II was one of the first German permanent specialized fighter squadrons. A month later, on September 17th, von Richthofen scored his first confirmed kill, shooting down the British pilot Tom Rees over Cambrai. To celebrate this victory, he had a Berlin jeweler make him a silver cup engraved with the date and details of his enemy. Von Richthofen would go on to celebrate his first 60 victories by ordering silver cups for each. But after the 60th, he had to stop the practice. Remember, the Allies were blockading Germany, and by then, silver was in short supply. Von Richthofen didn't want a victory cup made out of some cheapy metal. Meanwhile, Yasta II was having great success. Its leader, Belke, scored the last 21 of his 40 kills between its formation in August and his death on October 28, 1916. He unfortunately died in a mid-air collision with another German plane. Von Richthofen took over as commander of Yasta II. As leader, he followed the maxims Belke had set forth in a pamphlet that was published before his death. These were things like diving attack from above, having the sun at your back, turning to face a diving attack instead of trying to outrun it, waiting until you were close in to start firing so as not to waste ammo, and always knowing where your avenue of escape to friendly lines was. Unlike some German pilots, like his brother Lothar, who was by then with the squadron, von Richthofen was never a spectacular or aerobatic flyer. Instead, he followed Belke's maxims, used sound tactics, and employed accurate machine gun fire. So I guess you could say he wasn't flashy or exciting, just steady and unrelenting. And that's what earned his great success. Von Richthofen shot down his most famous opponent on November 23, 1916. It was the renowned British ace, Major Lance Hawker. It was a long, drawn-out dogfight, with von Richthofen finally making the kill shot when Hawker turned to make a break back toward British lines. This was a great victory for von Richthofen, but it also showed him something. During the engagement, he was flying an Albatross D-2, while his opponent, Hawker, flew a much older Airco DH-2. Even though von Richthofen's plane was faster, it proved to be less maneuverable. He realized that he'd need a more agile plane, even if it meant a loss of speed. January 1917 was a busy month for von Richthofen. He was put in command of Yasta 11, scored his 16th kill, and decided to have his new, more agile Albatross D-3 painted all red. This distinct paint job is, of course, what would lead to his famous nickname. Why did he do this? Well, perhaps even he didn't know entirely, stating in his autobiography, "For whatever reasons, one fine day I came upon the idea of having my crate painted glaring red. The result was that absolutely everyone could not help but notice my red bird." So from this point onward, von Richthofen flew a red plane. Understand, he actually ended up using a number of planes due to mechanical and structural breakdowns. When his preferred Albatross D-3 was unavailable, he reverted back to the Albatross D-2 and also flew a Halberstadt D-2. Each plane he flew was painted red, although some weren't completely red, and some were a more subdued shade, whatever paint was available. Now so far, all these planes I've mentioned were biplanes. That is, they had two wings. But what about the famous triplane that everyone thinks of when the Red Baron is mentioned? Well, he didn't begin using the Fokker DR-1 triplane until late July 1917, and only scored the last 19 of his 80 kills in it. By the way, while the Fokker triplane was highly maneuverable, it did have a few deficiencies. Von Richthofen gave many suggestions for improvements, which were incorporated into the newer Fokker D-7. Unfortunately for him, he never got to fly it because he would end up being killed before it entered service. Okay, back to Yasta 11. It became one of Germany's leading fighter squadrons, boasting many elite fighter pilots, many of whom were trained by von Richthofen himself. He also got his brother Lothar transferred to Yasta 11, which proved to be of great propaganda value. These two skilled von Richthofen brothers taking it to the enemy in the air, and it increased Yasta 11's fame. On top of this, many of the other pilots began to paint their planes as well, often using red. Red became the sort of squadron color, and other squadrons began to adopt other colors of their own. April of 1917, or Bloody April as it was known, was a particularly good month for von Richthofen. He scored 22 kills that month, including 4 in one day. That brought his total number of confirmed kills to 52. In June, von Richthofen became the commander of a new, larger fighter wing called JG-1, made up of his Jasta 11 squadron, along with Jastas 4, 6, and 10. The idea behind the creation of JG-1 was to create like an elite, highly mobile group that could be sent wherever they were needed and could achieve localized air superiority. All their supporting logistical infrastructure would be moved by rail. Because of the garish colors painted on the planes and their constant travel to various places by train, this fighter wing became known as the Flying Circus. No, nothing to do with Monty Python. Von Richthofen led his Flying Circus well, continuing to train pilots. He was often described as being distant and rather humorless, but many who knew him have said otherwise. Although he was an officer, he was cordial to everyone, even the enlisted men. He often told his pilots to be on good terms with their mechanics and support staff. I mean, after all, those were the guys who kept them up in the air. On the 6th of July, 1917, von Richthofen sustained a serious head wound over Belgium. He was disoriented and temporarily blinded, and his plane went into a spin. His sight returned in time for him to pull his aircraft out of the spin and make a forced landing behind German lines. He needed multiple surgeries to remove bone fragments from his head from the impact. Surprisingly, he defied doctor's orders and returned to combat on July 25th, but lasting effects of his wounds forced him to go on convalescent leave from September 5th to October 23rd, 1917. Even when returning from leave, he still suffered from post-flight nausea and headaches. Some people also say there was a change in his temperament. Clearly, there had been some permanent damage done from that injury. As the war rolled into 1918, von Richthofen had already become a legend. As a matter of fact, the higher-ups worried that he had become such a hero that his death would be a huge blow to morale, not just for the German military, but the entire nation. He was encouraged to take a ground job after his injury, but he refused, saying everyone had a duty to perform, and his was flying combat missions. This now brings us to the most controversial part of von Richthofen's life, and that is his death. On April 21st, 1918, at a little after 11 a.m., von Richthofen was flying over the Morlancourt Ridge near the Somme River. He was in his triplane in a low-level pursuit of a Sopwith Camel, piloted by an inexperienced Canadian pilot, Lieutenant Wilfred May. May had just fired on von Richthofen's cousin, Wolfram, also a member of the Flying Circus. On seeing this, von Richthofen attacked and fired at May, causing him to bank away. Von Richthofen pursued him across the Somme River. May's flight commander, an old schoolmate, Canadian Captain Arthur Roy Brown, was flying higher above and saw May being pursued by the all-red plane. He went into a steep dive and fired at von Richthofen from the left before having to pull up to avoid hitting the ground. Von Richthofen turned to avoid this diving attack, then resumed his pursuit of May. During the last stage of this pursuit, a single .303 bullet hit von Richthofen, entering his lower right armpit and exiting his left chest near the nipple. This shot caused grievous wounds to his heart and lungs, and would have caused death in well under a minute. His triplane stalled and went into a steep dive, crashing into a field in a sector defended by the Australian Imperial Force. Eyewitnesses to the crash said the plane bounced upon hitting the ground, collapsing its undercarriage and smashing its fuel tank before it skidded to a halt. Aussie troops who rushed to the scene found von Richthofen already dead, with his face distorted from having slammed into the butts of his machine guns. The number 3 squadron of the Australian Flying Corps was the nearest Allied air unit, so they assumed responsibility for the Baron's body. As for his plane, it was picked apart by souvenir hunters. So what's the controversy? A legendary fighter pilot goes down in a blaze of glory. A fitting and expected end. Well, the problem is, who actually killed the Red Baron? The RAF credited Canadian pilot Arthur Brown with the kill. But this has long been disputed by historians, doctors, and ballistics experts. Remember, Brown's attack on von Richthofen was a diving attack from above and to the left. How then could he have fired a shot that entered from the right and traveled at an upward angle? And furthermore, von Richthofen continued his pursuit of May for a number of minutes after Brown fired upon him. With the wound he sustained, no way he could have flown that long before dying. The consensus nowadays is that von Richthofen was hit by anti-aircraft fire from the ground. Evidence suggests that Sergeant Cedric Popkin of the Australian 24th Machine Gun Company most likely fired the fatal shot. He actually fired at von Richthofen twice. The first time as he was approaching head-on, and then again at the pilot's right as it passed the second time. This coincides with the timing and position of the fatal shot. Popkin himself always believed he was the one to shoot down the Red Baron. As for Brown, he really didn't talk much about that day. The statement he gave was, "There is no point in the commenting, as the evidence is already out there." As I said before, the number 3 squadron of the AFC took responsibility for von Richthofen's body. Its commanding officer, Major David Blake, held von Richthofen in high regard. As was common among air officers in World War I, Blake organized von Richthofen's funeral with full military honors. Members of the No. 3 Squadron's officers served as pallbearers, while some of the enlisted men formed the honor guard and fired the salute. Nearby Allied squadrons sent wreaths, one with the message, "To our gallant and worthy foe." As for command of the Flying Circus, that passed to Wilhelm Reinhard, and shortly after, the unit received the honorary title JG-1 Richthofen. When Reinhard was killed a few months later, the next and final commanding officer was a young pilot named Hermann Göring. I think he has something to do in World War II. But talking about that, well, that would be another story. And there you have it, kind listeners. Thank you for tuning in. You know, if you like this episode, please tell your friends about it, and check out some of the other ones. You might like those too. I look forward to talking with you again in our next episode.